You're listening to 30 Mindless Minutes, part of the Chairshot Radio Network, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. Lend me your ears. I want to welcome you back to 30 Mindless Minutes. This is my solo podcast. I am the host, the guy with the award-winning and holy beard DJ on my little solo project here, 30 Mindless Minutes. Tonight's episode, this is episode 3. This one is rather personal to me, and this is something that I've been looking forward to doing for a few weeks. And before I get into all that, I do want to introduce our guest host here tonight, good friend of mine. And this is a little awkward because usually he's the host and I'm the guest. from the Earnestly Speaking podcast, I have EJ on here. EJ, welcome to 30 Mindless Minutes.
What's going on, brother? How are you, DJ?
EJ, oh, man, DJ, look at this. Yeah, EJ, DJ, this is going to be an odd podcast. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm good. Coming out of the holidays, had a great, wonderful holiday season. I've worked quite a bit, didn't get a whole lot of time off, but it was good. How about you?
It was very good. I'm obviously worked, obviously, through it because my job was in the service industry, but I did have off the days off necessary for, you know, New Year's and Christmas. Although New Year's, I don't really care for. I'm a homebody. You know, so it's a lot of the kids. Christmas was a lot of fun, though. We, you know, seeing family and friends and, you know, fellowship is really good. Had a great time.
Good deal. Good deal. So what we want to talk about tonight, and we can kind of kick around the holidays a little bit as we talk about some things, because coming out of the holidays for our particular topic tonight can be rather trying for people. We want to talk diabetes. If you've listened to me on the Mindless Wrestling podcast, and if you listened to the first episode of the 30 Mindless Minutes, I have, you know, kind of been very open and honest about my diabetes diagnosis and journey. And before I get into mine, I want to let our guest talk here a little bit and kind of talk to him because EJ as well is diabetic. I did not know that until a couple of months ago when I was talking about my situation and he brought that up to me. And, you know, we've been texting back and forth, kicking ideas around. And I had this thought that I'd love to sit down and talk with him about his journey and my journey, our parallels, how we differ and things like that. So I want to kind of kick it over to you. Let's start with how long have you been diagnosed with diabetes?
So next month, February, will be 3 years I was diagnosed. And the funny thing is I found out I was diabetic. First of all, I always had an idea that I was probably diabetic, but I never actually got checked up. In fact, I never really went to doctors regularly until the last couple of years, honestly. What happened to me in January, early February of 2023 is that I had an injury in my neck area, which went down to my arms. So I, my day job, I do poker for a living. So a lot of it's physical. So I couldn't do that as a result. So I ended up going to a chiropractor and trying to get my neck situated. And that unpacked a lot of other things, you know, high blood pressure, because you have to check pressure and all this stuff. And so I got that checked out. And then next thing you know, my wife's like, you know what? Maybe time to start going to the doctor and see what's going on with you in general. Cause you seem to be breaking down a little bit physically. I'm at the time I was 42, 20, 43. Went to the doctor, got checked up, got my, you know, the needle, you know, the A1C checkup and, you know, the check, you know, all that. I knew I was probably diabetic or at the very least pre-diabetic. I was hoping I was being at least pre-diabetic. Sure enough, I get there and I'm diabetic type 2. My A1C at the time was 11.4, which is sky high.
Wow, that's high. Yeah.
Now, right. So naturally they put me on metformin, which I'm still taking today. The first 3 months, because obviously you want to take every 3 months to check your blood sugar and all that. It went down from 11.4 to a 7.3, I think it was. Definitely in the mid to low sevens, which is great, you know. But since then, you know, it's been, you know, it's been a challenge because, like, I still like to eat. I like food. I like snacks. I'm convinced that what got me here, honestly, DJ, was my love of sodas. I love sodas. I was drinking soda.
That'll and, do it.
So, you know, and one of the things I say is that these last 3 years have been a learning curve for me. Like, you hear about diabetes, but you don't know what it means and what A1C is and all these things I'm learning on the fly. And how sugary drinks, like, obviously you know what's bad for you. How bad you don't know. And then learning the science of what, about it. Like how it spikes your blood, your insulin immediately when it hits your, hits your system. Because it's nothing there to break down. It goes right to your glucose and it spikes up. So I'm learning those things. So I made adjustments through the years. I'm not perfect. I still once in a while drink a soda. I still eat relatively moderate to not great as I should. I mean, I think the difference between now and then is that, I'm much more aware of it. I will say though, what has saved me, at least my numbers are still fairly in control. Not great, but in control. Because they say if you're still at a 7 or less, it's under control and it's good. You're fine. You still be able to function on that, but in control. What has really helped me in these last couple of years, but something I've been doing even before I was diabetic, but I didn't realize I was doing it until recently. Intermittent fasting has helped a lot. If you guys don't know, intermittent fasting is something you do, like you don't eat for X amount of hours. The popular plan is that you eat for 8 hours a day. You fast for 16 hours. You only drink water, nothing with carbs or sugar, you know, and, that has, I think it's really helped me keep me in, you know, in check. Now in the 8 hours, I am not as disciplined as I should be. And, unfortunately, sometimes I have my days, you know, but that's why I'm in an okay place right now. I still work out. I actually been working a lot more recently. I do walk 2 miles a day, no matter what, every day. I have started really recently, really training, getting in the gym to work where I'm doing strength training. They say one of the things you should be doing, especially diabetic, because it's good for your arteries and whatnot, is lifting weights and doing strength training. Because when you do that, when you open, you know this too, you work all the time.
Yeah.
When you work out, you break down your muscles. That's excellent for your arteries, because now it's resetting everything and it allows your blood flow to move around, because you need the arteries open. So we're gonna
get into like the workout end of things and the diet end of things here in just a few minutes. I just want to give you guys a quick kind of my brief history of my journey. Okay. It originally started in 2020. I think it was 2020. I was having some heart palpitations and I went to the ER. I was kind of worried about my heart. I have a family history of heart problems. My grandfather had his first heart attack at like 44 years old and I was 46, 47 at the time. I'm like scared to death. So they admit me to the ER. They admit me to the hospital overnight. They run a bunch of tests. My A1C came back. It was borderline. I was like 6'4", 6'5".
Okay.
You know, right at the cusp. So they're like, okay, we want to put you on metformin. I'm like, I'm not going on metformin. I have a strong family history of diabetes. It killed my grandfather. It literally, over the Christmas break, killed one of my uncles.
Oh, shoot. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you. It was just, like, he was very unhealthy for so long. So I've lived this lifelong fear of diabetes. Like, I watched what it did to my grandfather. I watched all my uncles. And being in healthcare, I've seen it day in and day out for almost 3 decades, what diabetes can do to the body. So I've been terrified of it, you know, largely just family history. So I've always been cognizant of, you know, my health. But like you, I like to eat. I'm Italian. I like pastas and I like rice and I like high carb food.
Likewise.
So it was very difficult to maintain that. But as I was saying, 6.5 is not bad. I'm not starting the metformin. I know what to do with my diet. I have been on diets and worked out and, you know, had my fitness dialed in before. So the first time around, I did it and I got my A1C down to 6 in like 3 months. I'm like, okay, I've got this. So then in 2022, we're coming out of the pandemic and I managed to avoid COVID for 2 years and then I got COVID. And after that, I just was never the same. I couldn't work out the same. I couldn't do anything in the gym and I just felt like crap for like 3 solid years. And I'm like, what the hell is going on with me, man? And so, but again, like you, I can go to the doctors. I had, you know, family thing I was dealing with. When you're a parent, you put the kids first, you deal with the kid things, you put your own health on the back burner. Right. So finally in July, I looked at my girl. I had a couple things going on. One, I had bilateral inguinal hernias, which needed to be addressed.
July this past year?
July of 2025.
Okay.
So I go to the doctor. I'm like, I went in to have him look at the hernias, but I'm like, you know, I'm here. I might as well put everything, all the cards out on the table, find out what the hell's going on with me. So he ran all the blood work, did all the labs, set in the consult for the hernias, and my A1C came back at 9.5. And I was expecting, I had, like you, I had a suspicion that I might have been diabetic just because of family history. I knew my habits were not the greatest. You know, I like sweets and snacks like you do. I'm not big on sodas, but we were kind of regularly drinking cream sodas. And we would get an 18 pack and we would drink them over a 2-3 week period of time. And that's not helpful. And then my girlfriend had bought me a creamy ice cream maker and we were making ice creams and frozen custards and things like that. So the combination of everything finally just caught up with me.
You know, it's so I'm sorry, that's not to you, but it shocks me because like looking at you and knowing you for the last couple of years, I've known you, you seem to be pretty good in shape. You work out a lot, from what I've been told. So when you hear this, I'm like, you are nine what?
A 9.5. I almost shit myself when I got the numbers because I had my app dialed into my labs and everything. So I actually got my A1C before my doctor did. I looked at it. I hit the roof. I texted my girlfriend. I said, we are changing everything immediately. Immediate diet change. I cut everything off. I cut off the sodas. I went and got no sugar added coffee creamers, anything that I could think of that had added sugars into it. I cut off immediately. I cut out all pasta. And I can do this because I've done this before. I can cut these things off cold turkey. I have not had a soda since July. Haven't touched
one. Good job. God bless you.
Haven't touched a soda since July. I went from July until almost October without having a single dessert. So I really made these changes, and then I started working out. But the problem was the early workouts I had to watch because I had the hernias.
I couldn't work out
too heavy because I had the
injury, right?
Yeah, the inguinal hernia. So I had to really watch what I was working out. Had the surgery for the hernia on September 30th, and then slowly started to work myself back out there. And we'll get into the fitness stuff here in a little bit. Real quick before we go into the diet, because I'm keeping this to 30 minutes, so we got to kind of move along here. What was your mentality in the first weeks, months after diagnosis? Because I know for me, and I'll tell you a little bit more in a minute, I was depressed. For about a week, I was seriously depressed over this. Go ahead.
I was scared as fuck. I was scared as fuck.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because for me, number one, I'm already always have a fear of death, number one, as is anyway. But you don't think about that every day until you have to face it. The things that could kill you.
Right.
But on top of it all, it's not just me. I have a wife who I love more than life itself. Okay. I have two kids at the time were 9 and 5. Now they're 12 and 8, turning 13 and 9 this year. So I have a lot to account for, not just myself anymore. So I now have to get myself in order, organized and focused on prioritizing my health, number one. And that was my mindset. That first 3 months I was locked in. It was hard, but there's some things I could eat. I stopped eating rice, but I trimmed down the amount, for example. Fistful of rice, veggies, salmon, boom. Stop the sodas immediately. Okay. Strict water all the way through. That's why my numbers dropped immediately because I was very strict. And then I started, you feel confident. Okay. Well, I can do this. Maybe eat a bread here and there and this and that. And the numbers went up a little bit, and it went more than 8. The highest it's gone since being diabetic, since I got it down, was an 8. The lowest I got it to was 6.8, actually, about 6 months ago. So I am capable of getting it where it needs to be. Obviously, it will help my formula and that stuff. But the diet is the biggest challenge for me because I can work out. I walk every day. I'm dedicated to walking every day. I work out now regularly. I actually love working out because not just because of the fact that I need to, but also for my mental health, it's amazing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But the nutrition for me is hard because you're talking about undoing 40 plus years of habits, that I've done since I was a child, eating certain foods I enjoy, and I still enjoy to this day, and undoing that. Now, I've done a good job of limiting it, for example. What's been hard for me, though, too, is that my wife, who also for years had weight problems herself, she had a health scare that same year. She got really strict after that and has not looked back since. Like she has gone, she's like zero sugar, zero carbs, looks fantastic today. She motivates me, but she's also very strict with that in a way to the point where like she's on my ass about it now. And it's hard because like I don't want to add that trauma to her where I'm going to get sick now. She grew up with sick parents. Her dad died, unfortunately, because of a lot of issues with health and stuff. And she's want to deal with that with me. You know what I'm saying? So, she reminds me that all the time. Like, I don't want me, don't traumatize me now. And she puts it in my head all the time, and she's right. So the nutrition part for me is so hard. It really is. I'm trying to lock it in, but it's the certain habits. I'm just being real here. I don't want to sit and bullshit you and say, like, listen, oh, yeah, I'm doing pretty good now. No, it's hard. It's fucking hard.
No, that's what this podcast is about, buddy, because I'm sure there are people listening to this, hopefully listening to us, that have diabetes who go through the same thing. It's not easy. It really isn't. And, my goal here is to encourage people and to hopefully inspire people to do better because it is hard. It's not easy, especially after, like you said, decades of habits, eating different things. I love fried food, fried chickens and, chicken tenders and, you know, and stuff like that. And just all this stuff, it cumulatively adds up with type 2 diabetes. And, you know, as I look at my blood sugars now, the diet has been key for me in keeping things lower. The metformin is helping. I, like you, am on metformin twice a day, and I'll probably be on that for the long term. I'm expecting my A1C to be 6 or lower this time around because I went, like your wife, I went very, very strict on my diet. I cut out all carbs. I met with a dietitian about 2 months after diagnosis. I set up a consult, sat down with her, and she's like, okay, with where you're at and what you're doing, she's like, you're on the right track. She's like, because I even went into a calorie deficit because I was eating the bulk for a little while. So I was anywhere between 2,500 and 3,000 calories, which for me is a lot of fucking food. That's literally trying to eat something all day. I cut down to like 1,500, 1,600 calories. So I went into a calorie deficit. And she's like, no, you need to be around 2,000 to 2,200. She's like, you can have up to 60 carbs per meal and 15 at snack time. Now, I am still well below that because I'm paranoid, because I'm like terrified that it's, you know, the littlest spike, anything over like a blood sugar over like 160 after meals, I panic on. And I don't think 160 is that bad, but for me,
So let me ask you this. Do you wear the patches? Do you wear that?
No, I don't wear the daily monitor. I still do the finger sticks.
I did both. I got used to it, the sticks. But I did the patch a little while, and I had a scare because what happened, and I stopped taking them because it traumatized me. I had got a reading one time where my sugar was low. Wow. And yet I didn't feel low. And for a story, I went to a concert up in Orlando 2 years ago. And it was feel fine. So what I did, I started drinking sodas, something just to keep my sugar up. I think it was low.
Right.
And then I got home. It kept saying it was low. I get home, right? Check my sugar. It's normal.
Oh, shit.
The thing freaked me out, dude. The thing freaked me out. I'm not doing this again. Fuck that. If anything, I'll do the blood sugar prick and then call a day. You know what I mean? And just go from there.
That's what I'm doing. I'm checking twice a day on the fingers. I think I'm going to do the A1C. Actually, I'm due up in like a week or two. I'm going to go do my blood work, get my A1C done. And if it's where I think it's going to be, I may cut back on the daily monitoring. I may just check it. Like if I eat something that I know I shouldn't or that I think might yoke it up, like if we go to breakfast or something, if we go to, you know, Waffle House or if we go to Cracker Barrel or something like that, and I have a waffle or pancakes or something and I know it's going to crank up my blood sugar, I might check it then. But I think I'm going to lay off the monitoring because I've been pretty good. My readings have been, I think in 6 months, I have had 5 readings over 170, and 3 of those were immediately after my surgery because post-op after surgery, because it is a trauma to the body, it throws your cortisol levels off. It's stress on the body. It raises your stress hormone. It raises the sugar. Yeah. The day of my surgery, I fasted. Obviously, you fast for sugar. You fast for surgery. You don't eat. It's NPO after midnight. Sure. I go in there. I'm starving to death. My surgery isn't until noon. Okay. I haven't had a bite since 6 o'clock the night before. So I have my surgery. After surgery, I'm in post-op. I do my thing. We leave. Tina gives me a protein shake. Now, mind you, I have not eaten in 18 plus hours. I had this protein shake. It's all I had. And it was a low sugar, low carb protein shake because of the anesthesia and everything else and the trauma of the body. My blood sugar was 210. After the surgery. And mind you, I haven't eaten anything. So one thing to be aware of is diabetic, if you have surgery, your sugars are going to fluctuate. And they did for a good 2 weeks. They were higher than normal. And then they finally, as the body healed, it came back down and things were good. But yeah, man, the diet has been hard. I told you over the holidays, all I want to do is bury my face in a pumpkin pie. I love pumpkin pie. I love cheesecake. My girlfriend, bless her, has been wonderful. She has been diligent about finding keto recipes. She found an amazing keto cheesecake that she made for my birthday, which really didn't do much to my blood sugar at all. And then over Thanksgiving, she made a keto pumpkin pie, which again, if you, again, moderation, it didn't really mess with my blood sugars much. And, you know, I managed to keep, because I love mashed potatoes, and mac and cheese and things. I think I told you I just wanted to bury my face in a bucket of mac and cheese. I texted you on Thanksgiving. No, I had a very small, maybe a quarter cup, maybe a third cup serving of mac and cheese, about the same size serving of mashed potatoes. And my blood sugar after I got done with Thanksgiving meal was about 143.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation. You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Which I thought for what I ate was really good. I didn't have any stuffing. I had one roll. I did have one roll with that. So it's, right. So I managed to keep it under control, but yeah, the diet is very hard. And it's probably for people like us, it's probably the hardest part of managing diabetes because, you know, like you, I love my sweets, sodas, things like that. So really, if you're struggling with the diet, we all are, we get it. You just try. You know, and I'm not saying you have to go as hard line as myself or EJ's wife did. Like I did. I cut everything off. And it
I did initially. I did initially cut everything off in the first couple months. And then I slowly – the one thing I will say that has changed for me, there's certain foods like – I like okay, soda's like, my biggest thing. I don't buy it in my house ever. I haven't bought it since in 3 years. I haven't bought a thing of soda in my house since. If I drink a soda, it'd be because I'm eating out with, you know, with dinner, with friends or family. You know what I'm saying? And I have that one thing of soda and I'm done. That's it. Done. I'm not going to bring it in the house. My problem is that for a long time, when I drank soda in the house, I would buy 2 liters, multiple liters of soda, drink like fucking water. You can't do that. You know, you can't do that.
You can't.
So that's changed. That's definitely changed a lot. You know what I mean? So, you know, when combined with, you know, the fasting and everything else, I could be much better than I am now, honestly. I know this. The worst part for me is knowing it's hard, knowing what to do. I'm not oblivious to what I need to do to not get myself in trouble. It's just hard to compartmentalize in my head. Okay, just don't eat that. Just don't drink that.
Yeah.
It's tempting. And then I go to work and they're bringing donuts and shit. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh yeah, my office is the worst, man. They've always got snacks and donuts and you know all kinds of shit. And I'm just looking like somebody brought Krispy Kreme, dude. I love Krispy Kreme donuts. Krispy Kremes. I did not. Yeah. I had somebody, a patient, brought in Dunkin' Donuts Munchkins. I allowed myself one little chocolate Munchkin over the holidays, and that was it for that. Just because I have to be diligent with it because again, it's mental. And the retraining your brain is really the hardest part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Let's get into, we've got a few minutes left here. I want to get into some fitness stuff because, you know, we've kind of kicked, you know, kind of glossed over that a little bit. Weightlifting, absolutely key. But the one thing, and I've done some research with weightlifting, is that actually the heavy lifting, you have to follow it with a brisk walk at an incline or something like that. Because again, you think of just like a surgery, you're breaking down muscles. You're damaging things in the body. It's a stress on the body. It raises the cortisol levels. And the cortisol levels can actually raise the sugar levels. This is why after a heavy workout, I was trying to figure out, I was working out heavy. I'm like, what the hell is going on, man? I'm working out heavy. I should be burning this stuff off. Doesn't work like that. The stress on the body in the short term. Now, we're talking about short spikes. We're not talking about sustained spikes. Short spikes, the heavy lifting will actually in the short term raise the sugar levels in the blood. The walking helps redirect the sugar into the muscles because the muscles are like sugar sponges. And that's why I looked into, you know, like bodybuilding for diabetics and they strongly recommend it because the building of the muscle will help absorb the sugar, keep it out of the bloodstream. But you also have to incorporate the walking into that. And that's something that I have just started doing in the last 2 weeks. One, because I've got a little bit more body fat I want to burn off. I've got a little bit of subcutaneous belly fat and some visceral fat that I'm trying to burn off. So I've incorporated the incline walk after my workouts. And then like one day a week on what I consider my lifting rest day, I'll do strictly walking. And my fasting blood sugars have come back down much, but I've had a few days even under 100, which is awesome. And then my post-meal like tonight it was 134. I checked it right before you and I went on. I ate at about 6:15, checked it about 8:25. It's about 2 hours after, which is what they recommend. It was 134. I suspect it'll probably be around 100 when I get up in the morning, because that seems to be my pattern. Overnight, I fluctuate anywhere between 130 and 95 to 100. I'm dropping about 30 overnight. But that is really almost more than the diet. The workout takes discipline because, bro, I'm 52 years old. I'm tired. I'm old. I don't recover like I used to. And I really,
I'm behind you. I'll be 46 this year, so I'm right behind you.
Yeah, it's tough, and it gets tougher as we get older. But the key, and here's the key, and I had to rewire my brain here, is consistency. Show up every day. And every workout is going to be different. Like I did chest and triceps today. I did my bench press, and I did a weight that I had started to do about a week ago, and I couldn't do as many reps. And you can't let that get in your head. It's like, oh, God, I did this last week. What happened? Each workout is going to be different. Even if it's something you've done, the key is showing up and doing it 4 to 5 days a week.
Amen. Amen.
Like someone said, I read somewhere once, the only bad workout is the one you didn't do.
Exactly.
So going in there and doing something 4 to 5 days a week, even if it's not as much as you did the week before. I had a horrible day on what's tonight. We're recording on Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Sunday. Yeah. Sunday. I just had a bad personal day on Sunday, but I'm like, I need to go work out. My workout was crap. Like compared to what I can do, mm-hmm. it was crap, but I went in there and I did something. And then I finished it up on the treadmill. Blood sugars were pretty good. So it's, there's a lot of not only diet, but retraining your brain as much as you're retraining your body.
The key word here, more than anything else, is discipline.
Yes.
You have to be disciplined. And whether it's the working out, whether it's the eating healthy, whether it's just the being diligent on your checkups, stay on top of your checkups, drinking water, you know, mental health also, make sure it's clear, you know, because on top of everything else with me, when I was not only diagnosed with diabetes, I also had high blood pressure at the time, hypertension, and at the time I had high cholesterol. So
cholesterol.
Now it's in order now, obviously, since then. Are you on statin?
I am. I'm on a statin 3 days a week.
I'm on statin every day, once a day.
I'm on one 3 days a week. I'm going to see how my labs look next week.
I told my doctor I would like to some point this year get off of that if possible. If it's possible, because my numbers have been in the pocket pretty much since I've been doing it. And I'm very good about taking my pills every day, for the record. I'm on top of that no matter what.
Yeah, I haven't missed a day.
No, neither have I. I don't ever miss. And if I miss, I think I may miss one day, like maybe 2 years ago, and I freaked the fuck out. I'm like, what the fuck? You know, but yeah. Other than that, I stay on top of it. But discipline's the key. You have to stay on top of it and do something. Do something. Even if it's just like, if you don't walk 2 miles, you walk 1 mile. Okay. It's better than nothing. Like you said, it's better than nothing. You know?
Yes.
It's always, anything you do plus is a win.
Yep. You owe it to yourselves for your health, your family, and your longevity to do this. And you can. Let me emphasize here, no matter what your health is, you can do something. Even if you think you can't, it's in you. It's in your head. It's in your heart. It's in your body. Mm-hmm. You have to dig down. You have to be diligent. You have to dig a little deeper and find that extra thing.
Right. Absolutely. Man.
EJ, sir, this has been an awesome, awesome, awesome talk. We could probably sit here and go for another hour, but these episodes limit themselves to 30 minutes. This has been fun. It's everything that I had hoped it would be. Before we get out of here, one quick question. Welcome to Rockville, Daytona 2026. Are you going?
Probably not.
Okay.
I would like to go for at least one of those days. I think the Sunday is the one I like the most, actually, the Sunday lineups. But I don't know. I got to figure it out. I'm not a definite no yet, though, but I don't think we weren't as impressed with the lineup this year as I thought I'd be.
Yeah.
So at least with the headliners. They're bands that are like, you know, bands that are a little
we're going to go. We've probably seen 30 or 40 bands on there that we really want to see. So we'll be there all 4 days.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we get out of here, brother, push your stuff.
Yes. Ursica Podcast across all podcast catchers, where I do shows like between 2 and 5 times a week and talk about sports, wrestling, life, stuff like this. Also conversations, just having a good time with people like you, DJs, of course. You on there pretty regularly as well, too. So, Yeah. Have that. I'm on X at EachChristian7. And that's it, man.
And I am DJ. You can find me on the app formerly known as Twitter at The Mindless Pod. Again, I am part of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, 30 Mindless Minutes, part of the Chair Shot Radio Network. We are going to get out of here. We keep it to 30 minutes or less because you got shit to do.